Hola y bienvenidos a Confessions of a Curious Ear, el podcast donde exploramos el mundo a través de historias, Spanglish y sarcasmo. Mi nombre es Laura Matías y hoy vamos a hablar sobre Bajo la misma estrella o The Fault in Our Stars de John Green. Fue publicado en el 2012, es un YA romance sick lit set in Indianapolis. Trata sobre estos dos jóvenes que padecen de cáncer, Hazel Grace Lancaster y Augustus Waters, and they fall in love. So yeah, aunque este libro siento que no necesita mucha introducción, si usted ha estado siguiendo este John Green extravaganza que hemos estado teniendo aquí en el podcast, entonces ya sabía que esto venía. This is John Green's most famous book. In fact, estoy tan como que adentro del fandom de Nerdfighteria, que by the way is the fandom de John Green y Hank Green, que sometimes I forget that, oh, that's not how majority. O sea, una vez una amiga mía estaba viendo Crash Course de biología o anatomía or something like that, because yeah, she was starting to be a nurse. Y ella estaba viendo esos videos con Hank Green. Y yo la veo viendo eso y le digo, ah, sí, Hank Green. Do you know he's the brother of John Green? And she's like, wait, John Green who wrote The Fault in Our Stars? And I'm just there like, yep, that's the one. So yeah, The Fault in Our Stars, the book that just spurred the YA genre in 2012 and launched 1,000 sick lit books and movies. And for those of you que no lo sabían, porque yo no lo sabía, lo descubrí hace poco. Si usted no sabe lo que es sick lit is basically a popular subgenre of young adult fiction, and it depicts stories of kids battling grave, often life-threatening illnesses. Y bueno, sick lit ha existido desde hace muchos años, pero The Fault in Our Stars como que hizo que tuviera un boom y salieron muchos de estos libros de sick lit después de Fault in Our Stars, como 5 Feet Apart de Rachel Lippincott, Me Before You de Jojo Moyes, Everything Everything de Nicola Yoon, and many more. Y este libro también tiene un significado muy especial para mí. This was the first book that I've ever bought for myself, like the book that started basically my book collection, which if you follow me on Instagram, you know that right now it's kind of quite vast. Pero sí, este libro, mi copia de The Fault in Our Stars, lo compré en un bookstand in a train station somewhere between New York and New Jersey. It was the third book that I've ever completed reading, de tapa a tapa. And yeah, tiene mucho significado especial para mí. También, si usted me sigue en Instagram, probablemente cuando suba la foto, se va a dar cuenta de que, oh, it has a movie poster cover. And yeah, I feel like I should address that. Okay, first of all, I bought it on a book stand in a train station, okay? So we cannot have, like, high standards, okay? And I was, like, what was I?
A los 13 años, so yeah, my standards were not, like, that well-defined, especially in the book world. I was a newbie bookworm. I was just starting my reader life. Pero sí. Pero además también como que mi opinión sobre book covers es como de que, bueno, book covers, movie poster book covers, basically es que if the movie poster is good, then I see no problem. Have you seen the poster for the movie of The Fault in Our Stars? It's so freaking adorable. It's Hazel and Augustus just like really snuggly looking at each, well, not looking because their eyes are closed, just in each other's faces, and they're upside down and they look so cute together and so pacific and serene and so in love. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful cover. I know it's from the movie, but it doesn't matter because it's beautiful. También tengo the movie adaptation, the movie poster book cover de Anna Karenina, because I don't like the original one. I think it's quite ugly. And yeah, I really like the movie one. And I also really like the movie Anna Karenina, but that's for another episode. So yeah, that's my hot take, I guess. Este libro, man, esta es la tercera vez que lo leo. It's a modern classic, so enjoyable, beautiful, sad book. It showed the world that John Green does a great female POV. Really good, I must admit. Rough, a little bit rough around the edges, but it's really good in general. Este libro le doy un 4 de 5. Really love it, still. Y ahora vamos a pasar a la sección de los spoilers. So, si no ha leído el libro, por favor, vaya a leerlo. A mí me spoilearon el libro. Me spoilearon el final antes de leerlo. And that made me, yeah, I didn't like that. I'm gonna talk more about it later. But, yeah, I'm not gonna spoil it for you. I'm not gonna do that. We're friends. I'm not gonna do that. So, go read the book. and then finish listening to this episode. También dejé en la descripción algunos videos de el canal Brock Brothers, que es el canal de YouTube de John Green con su hermano Hank Green, donde ellos they do videos with back and forth to each other. Hay algunos videos where John talks about, you know, writing The Fault in Our Stars and his thoughts about The Fault in Our Stars. Los dejé en la descripción para el que los disfrute. Escogí los que más me gustan porque si hay muchos videos, he did a lot of videos talking about The Fault in Our Stars y no daba tiempo de ponerlos todos, but yeah, I chose my favorite ones and put them in the description, so I hope you enjoy. So, nos vemos. Bye! Okay, so, as we all know, el libro es de la perspectiva de Hazel Grace Lancaster. Ella tiene cáncer de pulmón. Voy a decirles como que así ya no, porque ya no me no voy a buscar de que, oh, what's the actual type of cancer that they have? Because, yeah, I've saw how it's written, and I'm just there like, I cannot pronounce this. I am deeply sorry, but this is one of the many reasons why I'm not a doctor. I cannot pronounce diseases, so, or medicinas tampoco. So, we're just gonna say she has lung cancer. Y sí, los pulmones se le llenan de agua y también le salen tumores en el cuerpo. Pero ella, y por eso ella tiene como que estas vainitas, estos tubos en su nariz. Y ella siempre anda con un carrito con ruedas que tiene un tanque de aire, so she can breathe. And yeah, ella al principio del libro está super depressed, no friends. She reads the same book again and again and again. She just stays at home, does nothing, and she's very depressed. Y le dicen de que, you have to go to support group for this. She doesn't want to go, but, you know, they make her go. Y en el support group she meets Augustus Waters, who's another cancer patient. Aunque él ya está como que sano, él sufrió de un cáncer y le tuvieron que cortar la pierna donde estaba el cáncer, but now he's healed and he has like a robot leg, which is pretty cool. And yeah, they meet and they are flirting and whatnot. Cuando releí este libro, I forgot how good and amazing Gus and Hazel's romantic chemistry is. It's so adorable and so cute. You see, they start hanging out, getting to know each other. He reads her favorite book, which is called An Imperial Affliction, and it makes me so sad that An Imperial Affliction is not an actual real book. It's a fictional book in this story. It's not real, so we can't buy it. But I wish I could, because I am intrigued by the story. I am intrigued about this portraying cancer so honestly, and Anna, and the mom, and the hamster, and the tulip man. I am intrigued, and you know, how it ends in the middle of a sentence. I mean, I kind of want to read this book, but we can't because it's not real, so yeah, that sucks, but whatever. Otra cosa que también me gusta es Gus and Isaac's friendship. I think it's really great. I really like their friendship. I think it's really cool. I wish it got more focused, but yeah, it's from Hazel's perspective, so I guess we can't get that, I guess. Okay, so, nada, Hazel, al principio dije, oh, she really likes Augustus, pero ella no quiere como que acercarse mucho a él because like, oh, I have terminal cancer. I could die at any moment. So I don't want to get too close to Augustus because if he loves me and I die, it's going to break his heart. Pero al final, tú sabes, Gus como que, you know, is making her fall in love and he's wooing her. And he's like, hey, it would be a privilege to get my heart broken by you, girlie. I mean, it's fine. I accept if my heart gets broken. Ooh, wow, what a word. The point being is that, you know, they get closer and closer. Y bueno, Gus también le encanta An Imperial Affliction. Pero como ya mencioné, ese libro termina half sentence and they're like, okay, we know that that's because el libro es de la POV de Anna and Anna probably died or got too sick to continue telling the story, so that's how it ends. But they want to know like, okay, but what happened to the rest of the people? What happened to the hamster and the tulip man and the mom? What happened to them? Y Hazel le ha escrito al autor Peter Van Houten miles de veces como que preguntándole, hey, what happened in the book? What happened at the end? What happened to everybody else after Anna dies? Pero él nunca responde, he moved to Amsterdam, and he's a recluse, and nobody can reach him. Until Augustus describe al asistente, y el asistente lo contacta con Van Houten. Y Van Houten le dicen, hey, you can come over to my house, and we can talk about that. And they're like, oh, we gotta go to Amsterdam, but we can't, because we got no money, but hey, guess what? Augustus is willing to use his wish, which, by the way, tú sabes, está esta organización que se llama The Genies, que le dan como que le dan un regalo, básicamente, a cancer patients y personas que have terminal diseases. Y les dan un deseo, whatever they want. They can send them on a trip or meet a celebrity or stuff like that, you know? Y Augustus no. Hazel ya usó su gift to go to Disney World, which I still think it's pretty cool. I mean, I know that it may be a little cliche and whatnot and basic, but Disney World is kind of dope. And I like Disney, so yeah, just putting it out there, I guess. Pero si Augustus is willing to use his wish, de los genies, because you only get one, he's willing to use it to take Hazel to Amsterdam to meet Van Houten. And so they do. Van Amsterdam, they eat dinner, and then, oh lord, they meet Van Houten. And let's just say that, you know why they say don't meet your heroes? Because yeah, Van Houten is a dick, he's an alcoholic, and he just not want to tell them what the book ends, what happens after everybody dies. He thinks they're being childish and stupid, and that, oh, the book ends, it's just fiction, the characters don't exist, why are you obsessed with it? And you know, he's very pedantic, and he's the worst. Van Houten is the worst, that's just what you need to know. But now they still try to enjoy their time in Amsterdam. They go to Anne Frank's house. That's where Gus and Hazel kiss for the first time. And yeah, I know this brings out a lot of issues for a lot of people. I understand that. Totally, absolutely understand why. Mucha gente lo encuentra irrespetuoso. Like, oh my god, how are you gonna start kissing in Anne Frank's house? This is a serious place when you're not, and you know. And yeah, I have no comments on this because I know nothing about Anne Frank, and I mean nothing. All I know is that she was a 13-year-old girl during the Holocaust and she died. That's all I know. That's it. I know nothing about Anne Frank. Nunca leí el diario de Anne Frank, so I have not the slightest idea, so I'm not gonna comment on whether... Porque en el libro de que, oh, they said de que it's not as bad porque... You know, Anne Frank was also like a 13-year-old girl, and in supuestamente en el diario de Anne Frank, she talks about boys and wanting to kiss boys, so maybe she will be okay with the fact that Hazel and Augustus kissed in her house, and besides, it was just like a small kiss, and not like they were like up in each other, making out and whatnot. So that's their argument in the book. But yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? The irrespetuoso, no irrespetuoso, gray area. Tell me what you think. Okay, pero después de esto, cuando están a punto de volver a casa, antes de volver, Augustus le confiesa a Hazel de que, hey, le hicieron a él un estudio, and turns out his cancer is back and it has spread to his legs and, well, his leg and his chest, and it's just everywhere. He's like really, really sick now and it's terrible. We're all crying. We're all sad. Augustus' health deteriorates. He cannot walk as much. Tiene que usar una silla de ruedas. He's like always in the hospital. He gets nausea. I mean, it's really, really bad. Y llega, y bueno, una cosa que me gusta es que, bueno, Augustus hace como un pre-funeral con Isaac y Hazel because, oh, he wants to hear what they are gonna say at his funeral. He wants to be able to see it, but, you know, he doesn't know if he can once he's dead, but... Y me encanta la eulogy de Hazel August. It's so pretty, and I love that. It's so sweet. And then, 8 days later, Augustus Waters died. Esto fue lo que me spoilearon. Una amiga del colegio cuando estábamos en middle school, she loved The Fault in Our Stars. Como que en ese tiempo, she loved it to craziness. She loved The Fault in Our Stars so much. Y ella, como que lo dijo, Gus dies at the end. At the time, I felt kind of hurt because I was just there like, why would you tell me that? I didn't want to know that. Por eso como que la primera vez que leí el libro, cuando llegó la muerte de Gus, no me afectó tanto, como que no me dolió tanto. Because I was just like, ya me spoilearon esto. And I was like more thinking about the spoiler than the fact that Gus actually died. I was kind of bitter about it. I was like, oh, me spoilearon el ending. This is not fair. Pero nada. La segunda vez tampoco lloré. I don't remember why I didn't, but yeah. Y esta vez, okay, I didn't cry because si me llevan escuchando durante un tiempo, sabrán que yo no lloro con libros, ni con películas, ni con nada. But I must admit, I did get a little bit teary-eyed. I mean, his death... It's very sad. It's super sad. I was on the verge of tears. No sé por qué. I mean, la primera vez no me impactó tanto. Por obvias razones. Y la segunda vez tampoco. Pero no sé por qué esta vez, this time around, it did. But yeah, Gus's death is really sad. Oh, by the way, I also forgot to mention, in el pre-funeral, Isaac's eulogy for Gus is also really great. I forgot. Porque, yeah, I think I said, like, oh, Hazel's was really good. But I forgot to say, like, oh, yeah, Isaac's was really good. Both eulogies were great. I love them both. Okay, now that we got that out of the way. Sí, so van al funeral, Hazel makes up another eulogy because she doesn't want to read the ones that she told Gus. She feels like it's kind of personal between them, so it should stay that way. And while she's in the funeral, guess who she runs up with? But freaking Peter Van Houten. Can you believe this? And the man is here to tell her about the ending because Gus asked Van Houten to do it because he was dying. Y Van Houten apparently listened to him. But, yeah, Hazel is just so sick of it. She's just like, Gus died. I don't care. You're a drunk and you're a jerk and I hate you. And also we find out that, oh, an Imperial Affliction was based on Van Houten's daughter. She also had cancer, and that's why he wrote it, and that's why he's so bitter about cancer and cancer patients and everything, because he's bitter about his own daughter's death. Y si luego Hazel lo deja, she doesn't want to have anything to do with him, y se va. But then we find out through Isaac that, oh, Gus sent something, some piece of writing to Van Houten, para que Van Houten se lo diera a Hazel when he died. And that's what Van Houten was trying to do, but Hazel rejected him. So Hazel now has to rush to Gus's home and check his laptop to see if she can find whatever he wrote to Van Houten. And she found it. Porque Hazel le había pedido a Gus de que escribiera su eulogy para ella. Porque, oh, she, al principio, she was sicker than him. So odds were that she was gonna die before him. But then, you know, Gus got more sick and died first. So he never got to give it to her. But now she gets to read it. And Gus' eulogy for Hazel is so freaking beautiful. It's so great. And oh my god. And then the book ends. And oh man, it was so good. Ahora, antes de concluir, hay una cosa que yo en mi tiempo de investigación descubrí that I had not the slightest idea that this was a thing. No idea. And it is called a manic pixie dream guy. I know. I find it weird too. I have never heard of this. I thought it was made up. But in case you're wondering, yeah, a manic pixie dream boy or guy exists. It's basically the gender bent of a manic pixie dream girl. You know, they're quirky and weird, but they're also insightful. They're like really bent up on helping the female character in their lives. Although, en el caso del manic pixie dream boy, no siempre es como que, oh, un love interest de una mujer. A veces es como que, oh, un familiar. Or if he's a teacher, he's students. Or if he's a coach, he's teammates. And, you know, stuff like that. It's not always, like, the female love interest. Pero el punto es como que, oh, yeah, he helps this usualmente female love interest to reach her full potential and get agency and be wow and reconnect with life and its meaning. Pero un caveat del manic pixie dream guy is that he's usually dies or leaves or disappears in a certain way. Si nos pasamos de ese criteria, Augustus Waters, well, he's kind of, yeah, a manic pixie dream guy. Sort of. I mean, I wouldn't say that he's like super weird and quirky, but I can see why. Y si hay también muchos, como que mucha, hay también controversia con... Bueno, tal vez no tanta como en Manic Pixie Dream Girl, pero también hay un chingo de controversia con Manic Pixie Dream Guy, porque, oh, hay gente que dice que es igualmente tóxico como Manic Pixie Dream Girl, because if you dislike it in one gender, then you must hate it on the other. I mean, they're basically the same trope. But hay gente that argue the opposite, saying that the Manic Pixie Dream Guy is okay and the Manic Pixie Dream Girl isn't, porque the girl... Esas características are like expected of women. O sea, porque la mayor característica del como una de las principales características del Manic Pixie Dream Girl and Guy, for that matter, is that they are gonna like drop their plans and their lives to serve the purposes and agenda of the love interest protagonist, right? And for women, en nuestra sociedad, como que it's kind of expected for women to do that. Like for many years, it was like, obligaban y le imponían a las mujeres to do that. Les imponían that, oh, you have to like drop everything that you do, drop all your interests, drop everything in your life so you could become the wife and mother that your family needs and that you must serve them and forget about all your desires and all your dreams and just everything in your life surrounds this man. If you have children, then also the children and stuff like that. That's why it's kind of sexist. But on the other hand, when it is the guy doing it, it kind of subverts that genre and it shows, and it basically, it's breaking the mold. It's basically like rompiendo el estereotipo. And, you know, we get to see like, oh, men being supportive of women. So yeah, that's like, esos son los dos campos de arguing towards Manic Pixie Dream Guy. You let me know, like, what do you think? En qué lado do you think it's right? I find it really interesting, this Manic Pixie Dream Guy. I mean, I had not the slightest idea that this was real, but turns out it is. Okay, para concluir voy a leer una cita que me gustó mucho. Es como esta conversación que tienen Hazel y Isaac después de que Mónica, la novia de Isaac, termina con él. Y dice así. Entonces Hazel dice, Sometimes people don't understand the promises they are making when they make them. Y Isaac le responde, right, of course. But you keep the promise anyway. That's what love is. Love is keeping the promise anyway. So, ese fue el libro Bajo la misma estrella, The Fault in Our Stars, de John Green. Espero que hayan disfrutado este episodio. Si les gustó, suscríbanse al podcast, dejen un review, compártanlo con sus amigos y sigan este podcast porque todavía nos quedan unos cuantos episodios más de John Green Extravaganza. I hope you guys are enjoying this. En la descripción están mis redes sociales. Cuídense, pórtense bien, cómanse todos los vegetales y nos vemos hasta la próxima.